We want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan, and I'm so glad to be here with Trent on this summer afternoon. And so I'm ready to do some recording. How about you, Trent?
Yeah, I think so. And you're right about the summer deal. It's still here in Oklahoma. It's still in the mid to upper 90s. So it's a hot day here. I hope it's cooler in the mountains.
Well, we're a little bit cooler, but we do have a lot of wildfires going on and a lot of acres burning right now. So it's kind of some dire situations for certain parts of our state right now. So if you're out there and you would like to, please pray for some rain for all these in the drought conditions. And then we know the seasons will let up a little bit. You know, from in Oklahoma, you get to go, what, from summer to second summer? Is that something like that?
And it's like right next door to hell, then summer. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
I know exactly how that rolls out.
Today, we want to talk about something I think that all of us, if you're in ministry in any form, I think that we all deal with, and even those that are not in professional ministry, I guess you could say. And we begin to try to do things on our own. And so today we want to talk about and ask you the question, are you doing your ministry all on your own strength? And so as I want you to think about that, and I want to ask you some questions, and Alan, you can be thinking about these as well. So the first question is, how are your mental reserves? How are you doing mentally? Are you, do you feel like you have any reserves at all? Second question is, how are your emotional reserves? And of course, those kind of lead together. And then those also lead into the next question is, how are your relationship reserves? Because our mental state leads to our emotional state and how we react to things. And then that always bleeds over into our relationships. And I believe that our ministries are all about relationships, first of all, with God and then with other people. And so then the question again is, are you doing ministry all on your own in your own power? So we're going to talk about that today a little bit, Alan.
Yeah, I think that's a great subject for us to bring up today. And, you know, you had come across an article that actually dealt with that. And so we want to acknowledge where you got some of this information today. So let's just tell them up front. You got a lot of this from a blog post from Dr. Chuck Lawless, and he has done so many great things. He has some really intuitively just very gifted insights for pastors. And so we really don't know how much we can improve on it, but we certainly want to talk maybe a little bit further than what a blog article could talk about with some of these, and then maybe add in some of our own thoughts in regards to it. But I think it's a great subject for us to talk about, Trent. And so those are great questions. You know, where are your reserves? Because when you don't have the, you're not tapping into the right power, you start to tap into the wrong power. And I see that in cross country, because we talk oftentimes about aerobic and anaerobic, our reserves that we have in each of those two tanks. And one of the neat things is that what we found out is that there are two different tanks. You do have kind of an endurance tank and you do have a sprint tank, but what happens if they're not both in shape, you kind of rob from one for the other. And that's a lot of times what happens too. When we don't have the right reserves in our spiritual tank, we'll try to rob from our personal reserves, and that's a recipe for disaster.
That's exactly right, Alan. And it does, like I mentioned, it kind of bleeds into our relationships, and sometimes we try to steal from our family energy and the time even that we have with our families, and that can lead to not only stress in our ministry work, but then stress in our families as well. And so we're going to talk a little bit about these. Alan mentioned that we have some questions or some statements that we got from Dr. Lawless. And I just want you to know that, Alan and I are always reading, looking, because we want to be a blessing to all of you who listen. And we're so thankful that you do. But, we try to point you to be looking at some other resources. And one of those I've gotten a lot out of recently is Dr. Lawless. And so One of the first things, Alan, I want to, I guess, for us to talk about is our attitudes. And so I know, and my wife, Dana, has pointed this out to me, when I'm doing this all on my own, when I'm trying to do this in my own strength, my attitude sucks. And so I have a bad attitude about serving. We used to have to set up chairs every week in our sanctuary. And there were a lot of times I had to do that all by myself, and I really hated it. And so that's kind of, you know, things like that, when I'm just having to do it by myself and doing it in my own strength, I get a bad attitude. Have you ever experienced anything like that, Alan?
Oh, it's easy to get a bad attitude about serving at times, but I can see where they say that's kind of an attitude that you're kind of doing things in your own strength, because like you say, those little things that just become drudgeries to you in ministry, it's a good indication that you're not thinking about the bigger picture and that you're not attuned with God's bigger picture. Because when you're excited, those things are a lot of fun. You know, when you're a brand new church planter, the thought about putting up chairs for people, you're thinking about every possible person that could come into your church, or every wonderful thing that could happen just by the act that you've set up the chairs. You're taking that step of faith. And then over time, maybe we become a little bit cynical, or we don't pay attention, or we don't do what it is that we need to do with all those things. And so then we kind of get a bad attitude that goes along with that. And so we do want to be careful about making sure that we get our attitude in check and that we demonstrate the right attitude.
Yeah, Alan, and I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, what I should have been doing is, like you mentioned, praying over those chairs as I set them out and praying for the people that would be coming. Instead, I was just being angry because nobody was there helping me, even though I never did ask, right? They just ought to know. And so my attitude was stinky, and I bet that bled over into my preaching and just dealing with other people, as it always does. So instead, you know, when we're praying, we're looking to God and His power instead of our own. So I'm glad you brought that up, Alan.
Yeah, and then, you know, what happens when you mentioned the prayer aspect? What happens when we only pray when that's what we're supposed to do? And so, you know, that can be a challenge as well. You mentioned the prayer life, and I've certainly been through dry times in my prayer life, and I know that you've experienced some dry times in your prayer life as well. And there are times you only pray when that person looks around at you and recognizes you're the pastor and you're the one that's supposed to be praying, right?
Oh, yeah. My grandmother would always, she would call me Reverend Young. This is crazy, right? But and so she would always call on me to pray, or she would always say, well, Reverend Young will pray. And sometimes, honestly, I get tired of being asked to pray. Maybe I'm just the only one, and that really is a big sign of my lack of spiritual growth sometimes. But, you know, sometimes we're just like, man, I don't want to do this, you know. And I think it probably shows in our relationship struggle with God. When I don't want to talk to my wife, there's a block in the relationship. The same thing is true in my relationship with God. When I don't want to talk to my best friend in Jesus, then there's a relationship block. And I think that's a big sign that I'm trying to do this on my own.
Yeah, prayer is, and I think a lot of us pastors struggle more with prayer than a lot of us want to let on. Is it just you, or is it most of us? I think a lot of us, I think, sadly, we put that on the back burner when it should be on the front burner. But it is essential when we're healthy spiritually, we enjoy talking with God more. And when we're talking with God more, we're certainly going to be in tune with His Spirit, and we're going to be living in His power and not our own. Well, what about this, that you tend to think you can do just about every part of ministry? I remember when I used to feel that way. I don't often feel that way nearly as much anymore, but I used to think I could do it all.
Oh yeah. And, you know, I would have, when I was growing up, and especially when I was in high school, I had that attitude, even before I was in ministry. And I remember my mom and dad saying to me, you can't do it all. And I would kind of bow up, and I'd be like, well, bet me, watch, you know, I'll show you I can. And I think that there's been times, Alan, where I've kind of had that bow up attitude in my church life, in my ministry, where I'd be like, somebody would say, no, you just can't do it all. And I'd be like, I'll show you. And so it goes back to my attitude again, but sometimes I think I just rely on me to accomplish it all.
You know, when I was doing a lot of interviews and I was bivocational, I would interview people all the time. And one of the questions I would always ask is, you know, tell me what strengths I would be getting if I were to hire you, you know, and then I would oftentimes ask people, well, what kind of weaknesses would I experience if I hired you? And that really was the telltale sign, right? Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes I'd say, well, I really don't have a weakness. Well, I probably can't do much with you because you're not very self-aware. And we need to know that we're really not good at everything. You know, I'm not good in administration. And so my church knows that. My leadership team knows that. They don't ask me to do a lot of administration. I've also noticed over the years that when I was first starting out, people would always want to come to me for counseling. People don't come to me for a lot of counseling anymore. And there's probably a good reason. I'm terrible at it. You do not want me to be your marriage counselor or your life counselor. I'm great with the spiritual matters, but I'm just not strong in that area. And so, you know, there's no reason to pretend that I'm good at something that I'm just not good at.
Well, I'm glad you said the being self-aware, you know, and I think that is just being honest too. Sometimes when we think we can accomplish anything by ourselves, we're just not being honest with ourselves. I'm just going to gut it out. Even though I hate this one part of my job, I'm going to do it because I need to do it. And I want those pats on the back. So the opposite of that is kind of leads into our next thing is living a life of dependence on God and his power. And if you're trying to do it all on your own, you don't like that. You don't really like to live a life of dependence. You may preach about it, but you don't really do it. And I'm saying that because I've been there, done that.
Yeah, you know, I even think over this time in pandemic, I think a lot of us have turned to our own solutions and our own answers. You know, well, what are you doing? Well, what are you doing? Well, how can I do what you're doing so I can do it maybe a little bit better than how you're doing it? And all of a sudden, we really don't even know where we're going or what we're doing in ministry. And we're just trusting our best ideas. I really think that this pandemic has shown maybe the best and worst sides of us in ministry, right? The times where we really like, I don't know what to do. And all I can do is look to God. But then those other times of I'm too busy to go to God. Mm. And I think trying to balance all of that out has really been a challenge, but I hope it's opened our eyes a little bit too. It certainly opened my eyes about myself a little.
And, you know, not just this pandemic time, Alan, I really think that we've kind of conditioned ourselves over the years to kind of do that to where we're looking at other people, you know, especially big name folks in ministry. And so that's why they sell their programs and we buy them instead of spending time in prayer, instead of living that life of dependence. We're just like, well, I can take that and I can make it work in my setting. And it's, you know, it's just me relying on somebody else rather than God or relying on myself.
Yeah, Trent, I really missed my opportunity. I was going to make it rich one at one point in time because I was going to author a video called Sweating to the Baptist Hymn. And I just never got that one pulled off. But, you know, well, that probably certainly would have been done in my own strength without God's reliance there. But when we think about the past, that's kind of that next thing, right? That everything we think about and everything, our great successes were in the past. God is certainly the God of our past, but he's also the God of our future. And we need to look to him in that way.
I mentioned this a lot to folks at church that, you know, because when you ask for testimonies, typically a lot of people, their testimony is from years and years ago. When they accepted Jesus, they trusted him as their savior. And that's all. But our testimony needs to be current, up to date, because God is still moving. The same God that saved us is still the God who is walking with us, providing for us, leading us to do great things. And so if, yeah, you're right. If my best days and my closest days with God are way in the past, and that ought to be a real light bulb moment that, hey, there, what's happened? I've left my first love somewhere along the way and I didn't even recognize it.
And how simple it happens. It's, you know, I remember there was that song, it came out a few years ago called It's a Slow Fade.
Yeah.
You know, we just kind of let that light become kind of a flicker. And then one day it's kind of out and we didn't even realize what was going on. And we certainly don't want that to be the case with our faith. And I think one of the things that helps prolong that is kind of that next thing he talks about is that private sin battle. And we all face it. You know, the day a pastor stops acknowledging that he struggles with sin is the day that he's going to lose his effectiveness, because we all struggle with sin. And we struggle with sin in public at times, but we all struggle with it in private all the time. And I think these times where many of us we've been locked up, or you've been at home more, you've been by yourself more, there's a little bit less accountability, and that can certainly provide its own unique struggle and challenge.
Well, and we lie to ourselves, Alan, on this. We lie to ourselves and say, well, you know, it's just my own thing and it doesn't affect anyone. But we need to be reminded that sin always affects other people around us. And that's true in ministry too. You know, if I'm struggling with a sin and I just keep feeding it and feeding it, well, it's going to keep me away from scripture. It's going to keep me away from prayer. It's going to keep me away from relying on God and his strength. And so it's going to affect the way that I minister to other people. And it's going to keep me from hearing the Holy Spirit, because I'm building that callus around my heart and my mind. And so, yeah, you're right, Alan. If the more that we're kind of separated from people, that means we're also separated from accountability sometimes.
And I think that this is one of those times where you really need to kind of get on top of that. You need to be honest about that and build additional accountability in your life. And I certainly think that that is a really important area, because I think those two things are tied together. You know, your strongest days being your past days and not your future days. And I think that's usually indicative of sin going on in our lives. Well, Trent, what about this one? You admire people who seem to be truly walking with God, but you don't change. So you're not willing to do what they're doing.
Well, yeah, and we want what they have, but we're not willing to spend the time with God to hear what he wants, or to rely on him to strengthen us to go through the walk that they had to walk. Well, that's really true, right? You know, especially as pastors, we go to conferences, we watch videos on YouTube of other pastors, and we're like, God, how come I don't have that? How come I'm not getting that glory, that praise? How come I'm not getting to do those videos, or not getting to write those books? And we admire those people, but we're not willing to do the work and not willing to rely on God to get there.
Yeah, again, that idea of self-awareness is really important in this. You know, you need to acknowledge the reality that goes on. I mean, I'm always amazed sometimes at how some people are just so structured in their life that they seem to accomplish so much more than me. And am I willing to go to all the depths of what they do? I'm not sure I am. But one of the things that I do need to be willing to do is acknowledge that I need to make some changes in my life, and that maybe I can learn parts from it. God's never going to ask me to be the most organized person in the world, but can I be more organized, and can I take more control of situations? Absolutely, always. And so it's important for us to become self-aware enough that we see the change in us that we need to make. Because if you're up at preaching and you're telling your church that some of them need to change, and you don't know where you need to change, you're a huge hypocrite in the pulpit, and your church will begin to recognize that.
Right, and we're called to be listeners just as much as we are called to be speakers? Am I listening to the Holy Spirit instead of just speaking to my church family? Am I listening to what's going on around me? Am I listening to my wife and my kids? That kind of leads us into this next one about our family knows a different person than the mask that we put on in our ministry sometimes. But, you know, am I listening? Am I wanting to get closer to God, or am I just ignoring that? Alan, this is a struggle, man. And, you know, our kids, boy, they see this, they see right through us. You mentioned being a hypocrite, and this is an area where it's easy to be a hypocrite.
Yeah, we have been around long enough where we've seen stories unfold among friends who had a whole lot different private story than what they wanted everyone to see on the outside. And so many of those have ended in just really with really sad results. And it's like the highway of ministry is just littered with ruined ministries, ruined families along the way. And it's just tragic every time we see that. You know, your first responsibility is to take care of the spiritual private you so that you can be the spiritual public you. It's not the other way around. Mm. And if you get those backwards, you're in trouble.
Well, that's such a good word, Alan. I'm glad you said that. And sometimes we get so caught up in our ministry and taking care of other people that we totally neglect taking care of ourselves and doing the quiet time and the walking with Jesus time that we really need to. I'm so glad you said that. And, you know, that's so important. One of the questions I think that we need to ask ourselves is, am I spending time alone with God for me to be closer to Him, not just to get a sermon, not just to put together a Bible study? You know, our church needs that.
Well, the last one, Trent, as we kind of come to it, is you just know your reality. And I guess that goes back again to that idea of self-awareness. But we need to be honest, not only with ourselves, but we need to be honest about ourselves with God. That's being sincere in our faith. And that's a huge element. I think if we can be that, I think that'll show up in our preaching and in our teaching. I think that actually helps our people be sincere with God as well.
Well, Alan, this is why we do this podcast. I think, you know, from my heart, that's true. And, you know, because what you mentioned before is absolutely true. We've seen some wrecks happen. It's like you're driving down the highway and you see a wreck happening in front of you. We've seen that with ministries, and man, it just breaks your heart. And you're like, the question that comes to my mind is, what could I have done to prevent that? And what do I need to do to prevent that in my life? And so Alan and I, we're looking for things, talking about topics to, I guess, have the hard conversations, talking about things that even people don't want to talk about, just so that we can help you prevent a wreck. We want you to be lasting a long time in the God-called ministry that you have.
Yeah, we want to make sure that if you're in ministry, that we walk alongside you, that we encourage you. We have experienced a lot in ministry, and if we haven't experienced it, we probably know someone who has. And we don't want to see you do ministry in your own strength. We want you to have the power to last. And the only way you have that power is through Jesus Christ living in and through you. And so make sure you're tapping in to the right source. And if we can be a source of encouragement and help to you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at enduringchurches.com or on our Facebook page at Enduring Churches. Or you can get a hold of either of us with Alan at enduringchurches.consulting or Trent at enduringchurches.consulting. We would love to come alongside you. So please reach out to us and make sure you pass this along to someone else that you can encourage them to not do ministry in their own strength. Thanks for being a part of our podcast today, and we'll catch you back next week. Mm-hmm.